Yes, welcome to the NBA panel. I'm your host, John Weatherspoon. Today, I'm once again joined by stand-up comedian, actor, Gary Owen. Gary, what's going on, bro?
What's up, man?
Everything's good. Everything's good, man. How's things going with you?
I'm good. Just rehab my ACL, MCL.
Yeah, how's that coming along?
It's day 13 post-op, so, you know, if I was an NBA player, I'd be out for the season.
Right.
But I'm a stand-up, so I got to take a month off.
Right, you'll be back on stage in no time, in no time at all. Yeah, so you've been staying busy before your surgery, though. A lot of shows had lined up. It's good, man.
Yeah, I had to, because I was like, damn, I'll be unemployed for a month.
The podcast is doing good, doing great. Here's what you had on Armour now. How was that? She's one unique personality.
Oh, that's one of my favorite people on the planet, Lunel. She's the best.
Yeah, podcast is going great. Tell us how that process is for you, having great guests on that you really share the stage with.
Well, it's just relationship-based. I'm usually just calling people I know, and if they're free, hey, you want to come down and do it? And then, you know, COVID was really easy to get people because everybody was, like, not doing anything, so...
Right.
COVID was when I was able to get Tiff and Kev and Lil Rel and Joseph Sakura, just because everybody was, like, just looking for something to do. So
right.
COVID was, that was not cool, but it was easier to get guests. Now that everybody's back to working, like, I've called Tiff numerous times, but she's always out of town and stuff. So everybody
right.
wants to do it. It's just schedule permitting, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Scheduling is everything. Scheduling and timing is everything.
Yeah.
Recent incidents with comics with Dave Chappelle. Do you think that a change stands going in the future, or some fans in the stands might be like they can get away with it, even though they won't be able to?
No, I just think it's so weird because people are lumping the guy rushing Dave Chappelle with Will Smith and Chris Rock, which is two totally different instances.
Yeah, definitely.
I just think, you know, this isn't the first time somebody's walked on stage during a stand-up act. I've had it happen probably 5-6 times in my career. Granted, I've been doing it 24 years. That's not a
right.
lot.
Right.
But when it's Chappelle, it's huge news, obviously, on a big show like that. And you know, sometimes you just can't control crazy. There's just crazy people out there.
Right.
I think that's all that was with the Chappelle guy. I think that guy was just out of his mind. You know, especially
right.
with the reasoning, and we're in such a hypersensitive world right now where everybody just wants to be angry.
Right.
Yeah. It's just a joke. No, it's nothing personal.
Yeah, some people just want attention. That's why they do it also. So
yeah, how about that?
That's
it.
That part. Okay, you said you've been doing this, you have been doing this for a while. You remember the first time you had a heckler and your reaction, and like, what's your reaction now? Or you can sense when someone's going to try and bother you on stage.
My first night ever doing stand-up, I had hecklers. And it was the comedians. My first time ever was at the La Jolla Comedy Store right outside
right.
of San Diego.
Right.
It was a Sunday night, open mic. It was like 1 in the morning. And there was probably 10 people in the audience. There was like 20 comics in the back. And the comics would start like heckling a little bit. And I was like, what? And... back then, I didn't know how to handle it. But I think the more you do it, the more established you get, the less you get heckled. Because when people start paying to see you,
right.
they want to see you. They want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear some of the audience. I think in the beginning, we all deal with hecklers more because you're dealing with bars and rooms that nobody paid to come see you, and they don't know who you are. And so, you know, it's a little
right.
more of a free-for-all. It's like, it's almost like a pickup basketball game, you know,
right.
as opposed to an NBA game, you know?
Right. You have a great stage presence. What do you do to zone in before your performances?
What do I do? Excuse me, say that again?
To zone in for your performances. What do you do to lock in before you go on stage?
I don't really. Like, if I'm doing a TV taping or a huge show, obviously,
right.
like a little downtime just to clear my head, but
okay.
for the most part, I don't need much. Like, I don't even think about it anymore. I just kind of go on stage and start having fun.
Right. It's natural to you now. That's what's up. Because of hard work.
I've been doing it so long, though. You know, it's like
right. It's
just nature to me.
Definitely. Comedy is unique in its own way, right? What may work for one comic may not work for another. Can you talk about your comedic style and others? Because some comics, like you, you're quick with it. You have quick returns. You you say you've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I can't speak on anybody else. I don't really know what my style is. I'm not that political. I'm not that smart. I don't know enough about politics too much. And plus, you alienate a lot of people. Like, religion and politics alienate so many people when you go there. So I kind of just talk about me and things that happen, some current events, but, you know, current events in my life. I don't need to go to the shade room. I can just deal with the current events going on in my life. Jeez.
Right. That's another thing. Using past experiences as material and having the ability to laugh at yourself. How's that important in being a comic?
I mean, that's the most, like I said, like, for example, like right now I'm going through a divorce. Like, I have the best job in the world to go through a divorce with, because it's almost like my therapy on stage.
Right.
You know, so I think a lot of comics, that's how we deal with our, if we were going to be depressed, we deal with it on stage. We can just be depressed a lot of times.
Right, definitely. The difference with you between acting and doing stand-up, you've done a whole bunch of movies with major actors and fellow comedians, and you do stand-up over the time. Is there a difference for you between acting and doing stand-up, or are you just, it's just nothing to you like everything else?
Well, acting is more, I don't really consider myself an actor. I'm a comedian, and I get acting jobs, but I'm not a trained actor. I didn't, like, that wasn't my passion. My passion was to make people laugh.
Right.
And I'm always just so appreciative when I do get offered a movie role or guest star on a TV show or something, because they're so unexpected. Like, I know my stand-up schedule, like, no problem. I'm working every week. But if somebody calls me and wants me to be in a movie, I mean, that's so exciting to me. I don't really get excited over a stand-up gig anymore. It's just it's a business. I mean, I still love what I do. Don't get it twisted. But, you know, I get excited when somebody calls me to do a movie still. Like, the first time it happened, I'm like, whoa, what, really?
You do a great job acting, got to tell you. You do.
Oh, thanks.
You definitely do. You talk about the evolution of comedy. Comedy never gets old, it just gets better. I mean, it's from Red Fox or Richard Pryor, Church Entertainer, to you. It just keeps growing and getting better. You talk about the beauty of comedy and how it affects you.
I just think we're in a weird profession. Like, not weird, but we're in a good profession where the more life experience you have, the better stand-up I think you are. So that's why I think when guys start hitting their 30s and 40s, that's kind of the Jedi years for a stand-up. Like, because you've got enough life experience, we can really talk about everything, but we're not too old that we're out of touch.
Right.
We're in such a different age now. Like, your audience kind of grows with you. You know, it's always weird to me when somebody comes up and be like, I'm going to watch you since I was like in third grade. I'm like, thanks.
Right.
21 and over show.
Speaking of evolving technology, how has technology helped your craft as everyone else? Like, now your specials can be streamed. You go on Twitter, retweet one time, 1,000 people retweet it, and it just goes faster now.
I mean, social media is such a – people say it's a blessing and a curse. I don't look at it like that. I think it just helps because you're not at the mercy of – quote unquote, the machine to get your material out there. Like, you can really build your own career through social media. I mean, look at someone like Desi Banks or Country Wayne.
Right.
You know, those guys don't have a lot of TV credits and don't have a lot of specials out, if they have any specials out, but they've built an entire career off just the internet, really, whether it's Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, all that. I find lately, What's shocking is how a lot of people are getting exposed to me because of TikTok. And I had no clue. Like, you know, I got like almost 2.3 million TikTok followers, and I just post stand-up on there. I don't do skits, and I don't do songs and dances. It's just stand-up.
Right.
And it's amazing because, you know, you got a whole generation that probably didn't see some of my older stuff, and they're getting exposed to it. So,
yeah, definitely a win-win. Definitely. Speaking of social media, the 20th of using your platform, you've spoken up on numerous issues, including one of the most recent ones of Roe versus Wade. What's the importance of using your platform when you have a massive one as you do? Because a lot of NBA players and football players, as your favorite quarterback, Joe Burrow, he speaks on social issues and things going on. A lot of people don't, but they're using their platform to his most.
Yeah, like if there's something I really believe in, I'll post about it, and then I make sure I don't read the comments.
Right. Yeah,
like, no, that's how I feel. You're not going to get me to change my mind like that. And you can disagree with me. That's fine. I don't agree with that. You know, there's people I follow that'll post stuff and I don't agree with it, but it doesn't make me want to unfollow them or think they're less of a human being. It's just we're disagreeing on this issue. Like Roe versus Wade, I just didn't agree with it. So I posted, I saw someone post and I reposted it. And I made sure I put author unknown. I didn't want people to think those were my thoughts. I just said this is where I stand on it. Cause I thought when I posted it, I thought it encapsulated how I was feeling perfectly.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, because you can't please everyone. No matter what you do, someone's going to say something about it anyway. So.
Yeah, and they're always going to have a counterpoint. Like I didn't think of that. Yeah, I thought of that. I knew that.
Your top three comics off the top of your mind, do you have any? You put in your top three
That's so hard. Like, I get asked that a lot, and I don't watch a lot of stand-up anymore because I do it so much, and I always want to feel like my material is mine.
Right.
It's such a hard one. And honestly, it probably changes day to day, depending on what kind of mood I'm in.
Right.
It changes all the time. Like, I really think, like, I wish people would start looking up, like, Sam Kinison and Mitch Hedberg. Obviously, Bernie Mac.
Right.
And stuff like I wish some people look guys like that up at when I first was coming up. There was a guy named Pablo Francisco, a guy named Freddie Soto, just really funny people. Like Freddie passed away at a young age, just similar to Sam, similar to Mitch. They just were so funny to me. When I first started stand up, I would see those guys in LA and I was like, God, I thought they were so good. Just so good.
Do you watch any old movies? Like, Let's Do It Again up on Saturday night. There's two of my favorite movies.
Yeah. Which ones are your favorite?
Let's Do It Again up on Saturday night.
Let's Do It Again?
Yeah.
Who's in that?
Sidney Poitier, you know, Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby, yeah, that's who I thought. That's one of those movies I've seen it, but I've never watched it all the way through. Like, I've caught it, and then I'll catch it later. And then I'll catch it. You know, I just never watched it all the way through.
Right. Yeah, I was asking Steve, like, the way comedy was as it caught up to the current era. Because they had their own comedic way, as comedians do today.
Be
funny, though.
Like, if you look like at 48 Hours, that was like a hardcore cops and like murder, like they were really chasing some hardcore murderers, and then Eddie Murphy just threw in the funny. But
really
look at that wasn't a comedy.
Right.
Eddie made it funny, but man, that movie was raw. It was a straight murdering people.
Yeah, that was a good movie too. Definitely. Your Bengals made a Super Bowl run. How do you feel about that? You think they're gonna go back this year?
I think we're going to be better than we were last year overall. Now, to make it back to the Super Bowl, a lot of things got to go your way, and the key thing is health.
Right.
And health of the other team you're playing, but talent-wise, I mean, they got all the talent. It's just, you know, I don't know. I would love to see them go back to the Super Bowl and win it, obviously, but, you know, a lot of that is health and matchups and everything else. Like, there's so much that goes into football, man. So much. But, yeah, I think we're going to be better overall for sure. I mean, just our offensive line alone is going to keep not just Joe Burrow upright, but, you know, Joe Mixon was getting 1,000 yards behind a terrible offensive line.
Right.
Now, he's going to have some huge holes to run through, hopefully. Like, he might have 2,000 all-purpose yards this year.
Do you think he'll be a tough competition in the conference?
Buffalo. You know, Kansas City's going to be there. They're always going to be there.
Right.
So I would say Buffalo, Kansas City. You know, people are still forgetting how good Baltimore is, but I think Cincinnati matches up so well with Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Buffalo and Kansas City. That whole West made some moves, man, with Denver getting Russell Wilson and then Chargers.
Yeah.
It's just, like I said, it's going to come down to health, man, in the end.
Right. Definitely one thing going for you guys is, yeah, the experience now, getting back there, they're going to be hungry to get back. That's a huge factor a lot of teams don't have.
Yeah, and this, people don't realize, this is the first time Joe Burrow is going to be healthy and experienced going into training camp. Like, he was a rookie the first year, and it was COVID. And
right.
Then last year he was still coming back from the ACL. This is like a full off season with him. So I hear Keyshawn Johnson talking about, well, defense is going to have tape on Joe Burrow. I'm like, yeah, Joe Burrow's going to have tape on the defense too.
True. Very
I'm
true.
Not like they're going to get tape on it. Dude, Joe Burrow's going to have tape too.
Very true. Very true. And like you said about the NFL, the NBA is the same way. A lot has to line up for you to get back to the finals, not the Super Bowl. But this past postseason was weird without LeBron in it. But NBA free agency is about to start in like 20 minutes. And it's a crazy already because Kevin Durant wants out of Brooklyn, and the Lakers may be trying to get Kyrie. So,
you think the Lakers get off of Kyrie or Beal?
I don't know if Beal leaving Washington because he's about to get $250 million. I mean, he said winning is going to be a big factor in his decision, but
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to leave that $2 million on the table. We'll see.
Yeah, he's an LA guy too, you know.
Yeah.
If he was going to leave, it would be L.A., I think. I mean, that's his hometown, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to see soon, definitely.
I mean, LeBron, you know LeBron's calling Pelinka, like, what we doing? What we doing, bro?
Yeah, they got to do something. Definitely.
I only got a couple years left. I ain't doing this again.
Yeah, he might mess around and want to trade and then team up with his son. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. LeBron did those one-year contracts quick, so.
I know,
they're
right?
The clock. They're on the clock, definitely.
It was weird him not having him in the playoffs. It was just odd.
Definitely was. Definitely. Gary, thank you again for your time. Always a pleasure speaking with you, bro. Hope your ACL heals quickly. You're back on stage soon.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Definitely. The rest of the day.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Yes, that was stand-up comedian, actor Gary Owen, once again joining me. Thanks for joining me, and catch you next time.